That's a great way to live your life, isn't it? You know what? Walking by faith. Having a faith in a holy God and a Savior that loves you so much that He died for you. We'll be in Psalms today again. I hope you continue to enjoy the summer series. We're getting close to an ending point on this series of ours in Psalms, but we will be looking at Psalms 101, which is 101 today. And as I'm trying to find it in my Bible, I know it's somewhere. Yeah, there it is. But before we start, I want to ask my good buddy Galen if he would open us up in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. 101 Psalms. You know, when you got saved and you gave your heart and life to Christ, something happened inside of you. Did you know that? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you became a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When you got saved, He gave you a new plan for your life. A new purpose, a new priority, and a new passion in your life. When you got saved, He gave you a new road to take, a different kind of road to take than what you were on before you were saved. And I believe because He has changed us from the inside out, we as His children must live a life that reflects Him. We cannot live a life that looks like just the worldly life. We have been changed. The Bible says He's taken this hard heart of ours, and when we made Jesus Lord and Savior, He gave us a soft heart. He gave us a loving heart. And He wants us to live a life that is godly, that is holy, that is righteous. He wants us to live a life that is, and I've said this many times, worthy of the calling of Christ. Our life should reflect Him in our lives. And our lives need to be completely different than somebody who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life must stand out because He's given us a new heart and a new direction in our life. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to make a decision in your life that says, hey, I'm standing strong for Jesus. I refuse to compromise my faith in this world that we live in. In order to be a person that wants to live a godly life and a righteous and holy life, we must be people that make a commitment to Him. We must dedicate our lives to Him. We must have the discipline to live according to how He's called us to live and have a dogged determination that I will never compromise my faith because He's asked me to live a holy and a righteous and a godly life. And I can't turn my back on that. We as Christians must stay strong and we must stay loyal to who we love the most, and that is Jesus. I was thinking about the prophet Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they refused to compromise their faith. How they wanted to live a godly and a righteous life, but the world did not want them to do that. They said, bow down to the king of this world. They said, Daniel, shut your door, shut your windows. We're tired of listening to you pray to your God. And you see, they had made a decision early on in their life, even before they were prisoners in a foreign land. They had made the choice in their lives that I will not compromise my faith. I am living a godly life. God says, I want you to live a holy and a righteous life. And these men decided, no matter what, you can throw me in the fiery furnace, you can throw me in the lion's den, I don't care, because I will never give up my faith. You see, as Christians, we need to have that same kind of commitment and dedication. I thought of the apostles. Oh my goodness, Paul, and all the things that Paul dealt with. And he never turned his back on his faith. And once those disciples, once they saw the risen Savior, once they laid their hands on Jesus, who was now walking amongst them within a few days after he died, and when they saw and they felt the risen Savior, what happened to their life? Man, they were all on board for the Lord. There was no compromise. There was no giving back. There was no quit in them. They pursued onward and shared the gospel around the world. It cost all of them their lives except John. And he probably wished he would have as they boiled him, tried to boil him to death. And yet, because they had a risen Savior and they'd seen the risen Savior, they went out and declared the gospel unapologetically, uncompromisingly. They were committed and they were determined. And they were dedicated to the point that I will live a godly life no matter what. He's called us to do the very same thing. Did you know that? He's called us to live just like that. To not be ashamed of the gospel. To be committed with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. To continue to be dedicated to the part that says, I want to live a life that looks like my Jesus. Today in Psalm 101, we're going to see what David would say about that. He's going to give us a few ideas about how to continue that kind of a lifestyle. To be a person who wants to live a godly life. And if you've been born again, you've got to have this attitude in you that this is how I want to live. So David, I think he's looking back. He's probably looking back on his earlier life where he had made some huge mistakes in his life, where he, in a sense, walked away from the Lord. And I think he is giving us some advice here as he's looking back about what it took him and what it takes us in order to be a person who lives a life that just looks like Jesus. So let's look here. Let's look at verse 1, if you would. David wanted to be a man of integrity. He wanted to be a man of faith. He wanted to be a man of obedience. And this is how he goes about doing it. In verse 1, it says this. It says, I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. You see, David believed in praising the Lord. There's 150 psalms in here, and I bet 149 of them at least uses the words praise in them. You see, he wanted to praise the Lord because of how good God was. And he wanted other people to praise the Lord. He wanted other people to understand God's mercy and God's grace and God's love and God's faithfulness and how faithful God had been in David's life, how faithful God is in David's life, and how faithful God is going to be in David's life. And regardless what came down in David's life, he knew that God would be faithful, and he knew God loved him unconditionally. I mean, that's a big statement. He wanted us and them and people around him and himself to understand how much God is faithful to him and how much God loved him, even when he failed. There's some great verses in Romans 8 that talks about how much God loves us. And it's Romans 8, 38 and 39, and it goes something like this. He says, for I am convinced Paul would write, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, no power, no height, no depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that ought to pump your chili just a little bit, you know what? That He loves us no matter what. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from that love. When we are experiencing troubles in our life and struggles in our life, and man, it's just the day doesn't seem to fit right, and tomorrow and the next day, and we're dealing with all kind of stuff. You know, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Doesn't mean that God has failed you. Doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. Yeah, all that means is as you struggle with life and deal with stuff, and you have a faith and you put your trust in a Lord Savior, if you believe what Romans 8:28 says, that no matter what I'm going through with my life, God can shape it and mold it into something good to me that helps me to look like Jesus as I walk down my road, and that it'll bring Him nothing but glory and honor. Man, that's something to stand on, isn't it? That's something to be to just set your feet on and stand on it. That He loves us so much that even though things are hard, God will shape it into something and make you look more like Him. And did you know, Christian friend, and that's what God wants to do in your life through the circumstances of life, is to mold you and shape you into a person that looks like His Son. And how we act and how we react and how we love and how we forgive and how we interact with people. You see, there's more to this salvation deal than just say, come in, Lord. We got to begin to grow, begin to sanctify ourselves. Even in the darkest hours, I can promise you, God is with you. Did you know that? Even the darkest hours that you're dealing with, He's with you. I see Shelly out there. She's had some dark days the last 7 weeks. Okay? But I can promise you, God never left her. And I can promise you that even in her darkest days of her sickness, she could still praise the Lord. You see, praise is a big thing. I'm reminded in Acts, and I think about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas had been out preaching the word, and nobody wanted to hear it, and they were accused of starting a riot. So the local cops come and get them and take them and beat them to an inch of their life with the whips, throw them in prison, didn't put them in there. They threw them in the prison cell, put chains and stocks on their feet, and there they were. If there's anybody had a reason to curse God, it would be them at that point. They didn't deserve it. They were doing God's will. They were preaching the word. And look what happened to them. But the Bible says in that 25th verse of chapter 16, it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying out loud. And they were singing hymns, and all the prisoners could hear them. They were praising the Lord even as they sat in a dark, dungeon prison. Why? Because you see, early on in their life, they had made a commitment to God and to Jesus that says, I want to live a godly, a righteous, a holy life. I want to live a life that is worthy of You, Jesus. And I refuse to compromise, even though my circumstances are yuck. You see, Christians, we have that same ability. Those guys, you need to understand, those apostles weren't any better than you and I. Their faith was strong, but they still had weaknesses too, just like us. And just because they had that power, you know what? You can have that same power that lives inside of you, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to make that commitment, have that kind of dedication, the discipline to do it, and the determination to do live your life, to praise Him even when life is going south for the winter? I hope you do, because God has called us to do that. That's one of our jobs as Christians, to be able to shine a light in a dark world when we're not supposed to have a light at all. But we've got the light of Jesus. Second thing I want to share with you real quickly is in verse 2. And David says, you know, I'm going to praise the Lord. And he said, I'm going to strive to live a blameless life. I'm going to strive to live a blameless life. So look at verse 2. He says, I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. You see, David wanted to be a man of integrity. David wanted to leave a legacy. It says what? In his house. David wanted to leave a legacy to his family. And what would that legacy be? And he was successful some, and some he wasn't successful. But what do you think that legacy was that he wanted to pass down to his kids and his grandkids and his great-grandkids? I believe he wanted to pass a legacy of integrity, number one. I believe he wanted to let every one of those folks know how much he loved the Lord. How he was not ashamed of the Lord. I believe he wanted his kids and grandkids to see him reading the Word. I believe he wanted them to hear him pray, sometimes other than at meals. I believe he wanted them to know that they were unconditionally loved. Just like Jesus loves us, he would unconditionally love them. You see, he wanted to pass a legacy down in his house of godliness. He wanted to show the way of how a person is to live, to be godly, to be righteous, to live a life worthy of the calling. And his desire was to do that. And he knew that if he made that commitment within his house, what a blessing maybe that would be somewhere down the road for them. You see, Christians, we've got to be a man and a woman of integrity just within our house, first of all, to teach those kiddos what it means to have a loving God that loves them. And mom and dad, that is your job. Grandma, grandpa, that's your job. To lead the way, to show them, be people of integrity in your house, leaving a legacy that says God loves them and they need God in their lives. Verse 3 and verse 4, he says, I want to be a man of integrity outside of my house. In the public, in my job, and for him, in his kingdom, if you would. He wasn't afraid of that. Let's look at verse 3. He said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. I shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. David said, if I'm going to live a godly life, I've got to protect my eyes. I've got to shield my eyes from those things that will defile me, that will cause me to move towards sin and away from the Lord. I can't look at those things that are worthless, that have no bearing in our life. And boy, we can in our world today, we can see all kind of stuff, can't we? I mean, we just flip on Facebook, put on the computer, whatever we want to do, we'll put on a movie. We can see whatever we want to see. And David said, I cannot do that if I want to live a life that honors God. I've got to honor Him by seeing only those things that God wants me to see. I cannot allow that stuff into my mind, which goes into my heart, which goes into my actions. David said, I cannot do that. I must, he says, I must guard my eyes from the worthless things that would cause me to walk away from the Lord. And then he says, I'm determined not to be around evil or corrupt people. People that were unfaithful to him. People that did not believe like him. People that did not have the right attitudes about things, about godly things. He said, I don't want to be around those kind of people. Because you see, he didn't know this verse, but he understood the principle of this verse. And this verse is 1 Corinthians 15:33. 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I just to put a little footnote on this deal, if I was a parent who had young kids, if I was a grandparent that had young grandparent kids, I would know that verse. I would know that verse, because that verse would sure make it easier. When your son or your daughter comes to you and said, I want to hang out with X, whoever X is. Okay? And you think, you know, I've heard stories about this kid. And I really don't want you to hang around with him, but I'll let you. It's okay. I mean, surely they're not going to mess you up. Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. So if you're trying to decide if your kiddos or grandkiddos need to be around somebody, there's your test right there. Are they going to push them towards the Lord, or are they going to push them away from the Lord? And you can tell your kids no if you want to. It's okay. You see, David knew if he surrounded himself with people that did not think like him, that their attitudes and their opinions would soon infiltrate him. And he knew if he was to live a godly life, that just can't happen. So he makes the decision. I want integrity in my home. And I want integrity out in the public, people I come in contact with. And I'm for sure not going to spend a whole lot of time with people that don't think and believe like me because of what could happen. Verse 6 and 7 is kind of the flip side of that coin real quickly. He says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they will dwell within me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. You see, David wanted to kind of get away from evil people, but he wanted the good people in his life. He wanted people of integrity. He wanted people that were dependable for him, that were loyal, that were trustworthy, people that did the right thing, people that made the right decisions, people that would lift him up instead of tear him away. And he knew, and it says, where does it say that? Last part of 6, who will minister to me. You see, when David needed some advice, he wanted to be able to go to people that had a godly background. He didn't want to go to the Dr. Phils or the Aunt Jemimas of this world. He wanted to go to the truth of the word. He wanted to be around people that said, hey, what do you think about this? And it would be people that would give him a biblical perspective that he knew that would be faithful to him, that were faithful to the Lord. He wanted to be around those kind of people and not around those other kind of folks. You see, David was all in about trying to live a godly life, a righteous life, a holy life, because of his faith in a holy God. And he didn't want to be around those folks that were deceitful. He didn't want to be around those folks that were liars and cheaters. He didn't want that because you see, he had another goal in mind. And we talked about this a couple months ago. And it's Psalms 1:1. And Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. You see, David didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be around those people that would influence him to walk towards sin and walk away from the Lord. And you say, well, isn't that kind of being judgmental, Don? That you don't really want to be around those kind of folks? Isn't that judgmental? Isn't that kind of hypocritical, Don? Isn't that unloving, Don? And in today's world, they would even probably use the word racist on you. Okay? But David knew, no, it's not. David knew that he didn't want to be persuaded one way or the other because of their attitudes. He was a man that was after living a holy and righteous life. He was a man of integrity. He wanted to surround himself with good people, and I would urge you to do that. And he did not want to surround himself with people that would steer him away from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says it this way. It says, do not be bound together with unbelievers? For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light in darkness? How can all of your friends be unbelievers? And you are a believer. And yeah, we are called to testify, and we are. But what do you have in common? You've got God of the universe who lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And your best bud is going to be somebody that didn't even know the Lord. David said, I want to walk a godly life. And I'm going to find people around me that think like me and believe like me and will encourage me. Yeah, we are to reach out to the lost. We are. We are to tell them the good news. We're to try to help them and to get them saved, if you would. Show them they're a sinner in need of a Savior. But we cannot allow their sinfulness to affect the way we live. Okay? And I've heard of believers before that have witnessed to folks and all of a sudden, their heart's not right. And they begin to kind of think, maybe that lifestyle's not so bad after all. You cannot allow that to happen. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Be careful who you run with, I guess you might say. And last but not least, real quick, verse 8. We are to recommit daily to a godly life. It says, every morning I will destroy the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. Every morning, David would decide to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Every morning, he decided to walk a godly and a righteous life. See, it just doesn't happen. We've got to make that commitment to do that consistently. You know, the world, the flesh, the devil will all try to pull you away from what you know is right. We'll try to show you a different path in life away from the Lord. But David said, I'm committing every morning when I get up, I'm going to surrender my life to him today so I can live a godly, holy, and a righteous life. Lamentations 3:22-23. The Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a great verse, isn't it? Every morning is a new day. We get up every morning with the goal in mind to live a godly and a righteous life because we've made that commitment. We've dedicated ourselves. We have the discipline to do it and the determination to do it. Is that your goal? Is that your goal to live a holy and righteous life? You can answer that to yourself. Is it your goal in life to live a life that brings glory and honor to our Lord? If you're a Christian, it is. It's supposed to be. Is it your goal in life to shine the light of Jesus around to other people because of the way that you live? I hope it is. You see, when you got saved, you got changed. A different lifestyle. And I hope your life is one that's going to reflect Jesus to this world. Because we all know they sure need it. They sure need it. So how do we do that? David would tell us. We praise him. We praise him. No matter what, we just praise him. The good and the bad and the ugly, we can praise him. Oh, Lord, this hurts. I can still praise you. I don't want to. I'm going to. God, I don't understand. Don't even want to understand, God. But I read your word, and your word, and this preacher tells you to praise him, so I'm going to praise him. I'm just going to utter those words. I don't even have to mean them. I'm going to utter them, though. Get them out. I'm going to praise you, Father, no matter what. And then I would urge you to strive to live a blameless life, to be people of integrity within your home, to live a life out in the public that they know that you're different because you have Jesus living inside of you. And not be afraid of what people might say. Not be a person that compromises your faith. But you stand strong in your faith. Because you're living a different path. You're taking a different road in your life than almost anybody else. And then I would urge you to seek good people to put around you. People that will encourage you, that will support you, that will lift you up, that will help carry your burdens in life, that will pray for you. And where do you find people like that? Right here. In O'Keen. People that have the same common denominator that you have in your life. And that is Jesus. That's why fellowship in a church is so, so important. Because you see, we are like-minded, we are like-hearted, and we are called to pray for others, encourage others, support others, carry the burdens of others. That's why church attendance is so important. And then lastly, I would just remind you, it's a daily battle to walk a godly life. Daily battle. Probably won't get any easier. Matter of fact, it might even get harder. Okay? Because you see, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you got an enemy that wants to come after you and not let you walk a godly lifestyle. So you got to be committed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, apostles, Daniel, you got to be committed. You got to be dedicated in your faith, uncompromising in your faith. You must have the discipline, the self-discipline to every day recommit your uncompromising faith in Him and a dogged determination that I will not give up my faith for nothing in this old world. As we begin our time of invitation, I hope I challenge you today as Christians. Our lives need to be different than the lives of people that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are called not to just stumble on this old world and try to get through it. He says, I'll give you the power to live a godly and a holy, righteous life. And he would tell you, I want you to do that. That's what I want you to be doing. So you can make an impact in this world. Are you willing to do that? As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm going to ask you to do business with the Lord. If He's convicted you about how you're living your life, talk to Him about it. Do something about it. Ask Him. Confess it. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this would be a good time to do that. You need Him, because none of this message applied to you if you're not. Talk to Him today. His ears are open. His arms are wide open. Go to Him today. Talk to Him. As the piano plays, you do business with the Lord.